You're listening to the audio version of Victory Condition Gaming, sponsored by Forget Me Not Flowers and Gifts in Barrie, Vermont. You can check them out online at forgetmenotflowersbarrie.com. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, search for Victory Condition Gaming, and you can also follow me on Twitter at DougVCGaming. And if you'd like to watch us live every week, make sure to subscribe to Victory Condition Gaming on YouTube.
Hey everyone, welcome to the next session of the Free League Showcase. This time I am joined by the man behind, well, one of the main cogs behind Free League Publishing, and that of course would be the one and only Tomas Herrenstam. Tomas, thank you so much for coming on and giving your time, and it's a little bit later there than it is here though, I think.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, it's like Sunday evening here, so happy to be on the show.
Well, we're so excited to have you on. We're going to take about 30 minutes to just kind of chat a little bit about things that are happening at Free League Publishing. You can kind of tell us a little bit of stuff maybe that's going on behind the scenes if you want. And yeah, if anybody has any questions, feel free to just drop them in the comments and we'll try to address as many as possible. Tomas, do you want to just tell folks who might not know what you do there at Free League Publishing? I think you got your hands in pretty much everything, but it's always good to remind folks.
Sure, yeah. No, I'm one of the four original founders of Free League Publishing. Way back in 2011, we started this thing, but very small back then, of course. Since then, I've been doing partly a lot of game design. I like rules. I do a lot of rules, and I run a couple of the games. I'm sort of the main lead designer for quite a few of the games. Mutant Year Zero is the first one in English that we did that was mainly designed by me. There were lots of others involved, of course, but I was kind of the main culprit behind it. And then I've been leading projects like and designing games like Forbidden Lands, the Alien RPG, together with Drew Gasker, who did the setting stuff, but I did like the rules and the core concepts and, you know, the way the game plays. And yeah, so I mean, I'm doing that, and I'm also kind of running the show. We're not very strict on titles, but once I need to use a title, I call, you know, I use the one CEO of the company. Sometimes when we when we talk to other companies and so on, they expect us to have titles, so I just that's what I use. And I use it when I want to tell stuff the others in the Free League to what I say. I throw it around as well. So
all right, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. No, it's just been awesome to see Free League grow into this company that it has. I mean, it's this publishing company that's really kind of taken off in the last probably 3-4 years. It's just been an amazing thing to watch you all grow and become, you know, what you have been. Congratulations on the Ennies that you won this last, Gen Con. And yeah, it's been awesome. I do have one question for you before we get to the viewer questions. And this is something that I kind of want to know just on a personal level. Most of your games are all based on the Year Zero engine or some sort of modification, a tweak or everything. When you first designed the Year Zero, you know, I think Mutant Year Zero, and you kind of made it, did you have an idea that it would be tweaked and used for other systems? Like, while you were designing it, you were like, did you kind of have that in the back of your mind that, hey, you know what, we could do other things with this system, you know, not just for this one game?
Not really. I mean, the first two games we did were in Swedish only, and they had completely different rule systems. I mean, there's stuff in there that is similar. There's definitely connections, but they were different systems. And so for the Swedish market, Mutant Year Zero was our third game. And all of these three games had different rule systems that I designed. So this was actually a rule system that was designed for Mutant Year Zero. It's actually older than that. I started tinkering with it even before we had the Mutant Year Zero, or actually the Mutant franchise, because originally it was only called Mutant. Mm-hmm. I was tinkering with a post-apocalyptic game that was very much inspired by Mutant, which is an old franchise of post-apocalyptic games in Sweden. And I called my system or my kind of game that I was tinkering on back then Year Zero. Right. And then we actually got the license to do Mutant. And then that turned into Mutant Year Zero. And that is now the, the brand name for the whole thing. And the rules were actually, so I started working on that even before we had the Mutant brand to put it on. But it turned out pretty well, and that was the first game we did internationally that we released in English in 2014. And it did quite well, and then actually it was more of a coincidence that we when we started working on our next game, which was the Coriolis, a new edition of Coriolis, it had been released by another company, Yanring, and that are now part of Free League back in 2008, I think, the first edition. But we did, Free League did a new edition in that we released in 2016 in Swedish, and then 2017 in English. And that game had, when we were designing it, I was not in charge of that game, really, but we tried lots of different rule systems and nothing really worked that well. And then eventually the one who was in charge, or one of the other guys, I don't remember exactly who, said, why not try the mutant rules? They seem to work. Let's try those for Coriolis. And we just like, okay, let's try that. So we did, and that was more of an experiment, and then it kind of worked out pretty well. And of course, it's tweaked, so it's not identical to Mutant Year Zero, but we
right.
same basis. And then that happened, and we were pretty happy with that. And then the same kind of around there, a guy called Nils Hintze is a freelance writer who we asked to write the Tales from the Loop RPG. And then we were like thinking maybe it's a good idea to actually. Based that would be our third international game also on the same rules engine, because now we have two out of two. Maybe it makes sense to have the third one based on the same rules engine, at least some version of it. So we asked him to do that. So he did, and it turned out really well also. It's a bit different from the other two, of course. They're all different.
Right.
So by then we had three games using the same kind of core engine, and then it kind of just rolled on from there. When we did Forbidden Lands and Alien, it just made sense to continue using variations of that same engine, but it was never the plan from the beginning.
I think it's just amazing how you can take that system and just tweak it here or there, or just add a mechanic, or you know, just do something a little bit different, and it feels totally different. It feels thematic with the setting that you have, and it feels like a different game, but yet it's still familiar, and it's a genius way to. I think it's genius, and it's a big reason why I think your games are so successful as well.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to some of these questions. Ibram asks, okay, Eric Grenstrom has been teasing bits of his writing for the Aisling Forbidden Lands expansion. Roughly yeah. Where in development is that?
That's a good question. it's pretty fairly well along. I'm not in charge of that project specifically, so I don't know every detail, but I know that Eric has been working on it for quite some time, and he has a lot of cool ideas. To just give some groundwork. It's the next, like we did the Bitter Reach that was mm-hmm. released now in June, which is like expands the world and with a whole new map and a campaign and everything. So this is like that, but it goes, let me see, west.
Okay.
Somebody came in. Yeah, so it's kind of expands the map in a different direction, and it's a completely new land to discover, a whole new campaign. And Eric, he didn't write the Bitter Reach, but he wrote the core, the Raven's Perch and the setting stuff in the core game. So it really builds on that and connects that and expands the world.
Nice.
So in terms of where it is in development, it's in writing. I mean, he's doing the writing now. I don't know exactly how far along he is, but pretty far along, I think. But then we haven't really gotten into graphic design or layout or illustrations and stuff like that. Not quite yet for that particular project. We actually have another Forbidden Lands project that will probably come up before then. But I'll have to get back to you on that.
All
so
right.
it's definitely in progress. I guess that's all we can say for now. Hopefully, okay. I'm thinking next year for sure. But that's pretty much as specific as I can
okay,
get.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, no, that's perfect. At least we know that more Forbidden Lands content is on the way and on sure. the Free League schedule. Titan Tales asks, they say, good evening, Thomas and Doug. Thank you, Thomas. I had now lots of time to test Alien this year, and after lots of playing, I wanted to ask if there are any plans for expansions that do not focus on cinematic.
Yeah, definitely. Good question. We're working very hard right now. That's one of the things I'm doing with my time every day, is to work with Drew Gaska and some other writers on the Colonial Marines campaign book. So that's a big, big, thick book focused on the Colonial Marines and how to play campaign games using or focusing on that particular type of character. So that's very much in the works. We were hoping to release it this year. That's probably not going to work, but we're hopefully we'll be able to release like a PDF for people to pre-order or something like that before the end of the year. Actually, it's growing a bit, this book. So we're actually now, just the other day, Drew asked me if we could make it into two books instead of one. I'm not sure we'll actually do that, but it might, you know, it could happen. So we'll see. It's definitely in the works. And because so far we've been focusing a lot on cinematics, but campaign play is the other big part of the Alien RPG. So next up is really a big push on that front.
We had Drew on yesterday, and he was saying how much he just enjoys writing, and it's hard for him to kind of pare back sometimes. And
yeah,
I try
to rein him in. It's not easy.
Phil says, quote unquote, the first one in English is important. There are some beautiful looking books in Swedish. Any plans to bring any of the older properties to English? Maybe Hindenburg, please.
Yeah, almost everything we do now, it's done in English. Or really, now we're actually doing some things that will be. I mean, Alien was the first one we did only in English and not in Swedish. And Twilight 2000, at least as it seems right now, is English only. You never know; could be a Swedish version down the line, but we don't know that at the moment. So, but yes, there are some older games that were released only in Swedish that we haven't translated. And then there was the Mutant Hindenburg game that we released in Swedish this summer.
Yeah.
You never know, but Mutant Hindenburg is a bit of a weird one because it really connects to even like older versions of Mutant that existed before Mutant Gear Zero. So if you don't have that context, it might be a bit of a strange game. It still can work, but it's very different from Mutant Gear Zero. So it's very much a different feel and tone that kind of it didn't feel like the obvious choice to actually translate and publish in English, because we might want to do other things with Mutant Year Zero than that. But we haven't decided. It could potentially happen. As for the early games, we have two of them. They're both fantasy games. One of the games, the first one, is called Svavelvinter in Swedish. It's a fantasy game based on Erik Granström, the setting writer for Forbidden Lands. He did back in the 80s a big campaign for the big Swedish fantasy RPG of the time, Drakar och Demoner. This campaign was called Svavelvinter. And then he made a whole series of novels based on that campaign. And then we based a new game on his novels, because the novels went away and created their own world. And we made an RPG based on that. So that was the first game we did. We released it back in 2012. It's kind of a cool game. I still like it. There's actually a quick start in English available. Oh. I think it's on our website. We did it. I mean, this is old stuff now, but I think it's still there somewhere. At least I should. To be honest, I can't find it right now, but it's there. So if you want to get a feel for what that could be or kind of what it was like, there is that quick start. I think it even includes a full scenario also. But it's a bit of a tricky game also to translate now. I mean, it's almost 10 years since we actually made it, so we kind of, I mean, it's not very much top of mind. It's a very thick book. It's like I don't know, even remember the page count, but it's a lot of pages and there's a lot of setting, a lot of stuff. So I mean, I think, and also now we have Eric on board for Forbidden Lands. I think our focus at the moment, where it comes to that, is more on Forbidden Lands. And I mean, they're not the same, but I still think that Eric brings this particular flavor of fantasy writing. You get that in Forbidden Lands. It would be a little bit like, you know, yeah, maybe a bit tricky to add another game into the mix also. Sure. But you never know. And you should definitely try the quick start, because it's pretty cool.
Very cool. Shane asks, love the Three League games. Any word on Alien or other games for online tools like Roll20 or Fantasy Grounds? I know Fantasy Grounds has, they have a Simbrium module that you can use. But yeah, that's a great question.
Yes, definitely. Simbrium has been available on Fantasy Grounds for quite some time. And then earlier this year, because once this pandemic stuff started happening, we had already been discussing doing more online stuff, but then we kicked it into gear back in March, April, and even as early as June, I think, we released Tales from the Loop, first the starter set, and then now in August, the full core rulebook, including the campaign, on Roll20. So they're both available there. And we have actually finished modules for Alien on Fantasy Grounds and Roll20. So we're releasing those very soon. Actually, we're just waiting for some technical things to fall into place. So we were actually hoping when we released Destroyer of Worlds and the starter set on September 8th that we would actually be able to release them online at the same time. That didn't happen, but hopefully it should only be a matter of days or maybe a week or so. And then all of the Alien stuff will be available on those two platforms.
Nice. So you're mostly focusing on Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds at this point?
For the moment, yeah. I mean, I know there are others also. We're looking into those, like Foundry and Astral, and yeah, there are more of them. So for the moment, it's mostly Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds because they have, since this is official stuff, the whole game, full games, is not just like tools. I mean, on Foundry, you can already find like character sheets and dice rollers and stuff for our games, but there's not like the full game.
Sure.
Because that wouldn't really work. So we, to publish the full game online, we need some kind of marketplace solution that Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds have. Foundry doesn't have that yet, but it might, if they do, people say a lot of good stuff about Foundry, so we might want to move in to that space also. I mean, really, we want to be wherever the gamers are to play our games, and online gaming, virtual tabletops have you know, really taken off this year for obvious reasons, and we definitely want to be a part of that.
Chris asks, is there any news on when we might see Mutant Ad Astra?
Yeah, good question. You know, it's always like that. You have like a lot of projects. Some of them, I mean, it's by design or sometimes by chance, some projects just kind of get kicked to the back burner a little bit because you can't work as hard on everything at the same time. So we never really intended for Ad Astra to be delayed. But we just had to, for a variety of reasons, we've been needing to focus on other projects for the time being. So, but it's definitely still in progress. I mean, almost all the art is done. A lot of the text is done. It's just a matter of finding the right slot in, you know, in the big scheme of things to actually finish it off. And also the project, I mean, the main lead designer is Martin Takeichi, is doing the Tales from the Loop board game, right, and that we Kickstarted back in March, I think, April, yeah. So he's been really focused on that, and at the moment we need to finish that game. We need to finish that, and it's moving in. We'll soon put it into full production. But after that, probably Martin's schedule will free up a little bit, and then I think Ad Astra is definitely definitely there, definitely happening. It's just a matter of you know, we have a lot of projects, a lot of cool, interesting projects to do, and then we just have to kind of space them out in the right way.
Sure. Millie asks, and I'm going to add a little bit to this question as well. How has the Free League Workshop been from your side? Any surprises in performance from the different lines? I know we had a question yesterday during the session with Nils that asked if Vason was going to be available for the Free League Workshop at some point. So I'll kind of tie all that together.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I hope that he answered the same thing that I will, that Vason will definitely be part of the Free League Workshop soon. I think the templates, because we provide like layout design templates for the games on Free League Workshop, so you can make modules that kind of look, you know, similar to the official stuff. I mean, you can use those templates to help you along. So those should be, if not, should be coming along pretty soon. And as for the original question, what surprises or performance, I don't have like numbers in terms of how many have been published for each line or so on in my head at the moment. But just looking at it, there's a lot of cool stuff being done for a lot of the games. So it's, if there is, I don't know if it's surprising, but it's really cool to see just how much content is there and being created by a lot of talented people all over the world. So, I mean, it's really been, this is what we were hoping for, to really provide a space for fan, great fan created community content that people can share, sell, and just get more, build a community, get more stuff out there for the games, and just, you know, to the benefit of everyone. So it's been fantastic to see.
Excellent. Olaf asks, a year zero engine conversion for Simbarum is in anyone's mind? That's a question.
Yeah, no, you know, at the moment, as you might know, we have recently just released a 5e conversion of Simbarum as a free PDF. We might expand that into a full book at some point, but at the moment, it's a free PDF that everyone can download and try it out. It even includes a scenario and everything, so it's got all you need. It's we are looking at different rule sets. As for making a year zero engine conversion for Simbarum, maybe, but I think it's at the moment we have two fantasy games, Simbarum and Forbidden Lands. They are different, and I think we're at the moment at least trying to keep them kind of leave each to have their own particular identity and style and feel. So where we do have some things, some crossbreeding, and like now there's like hex maps in Simbarum and so on. So there's definitely some, a little bit of cross, work going on. I still think making a full Gear Zero conversion of Simbarum, probably not on the short term. I think we want to keep those games, keep their identities, their individuality, identities fairly separate, at least in the short term. In the long term, there's a lot of ideas and stuff that I'll probably have to get back to at, you know, a later date.
Is there any, Abacaba asks, is there any smallest chance for Octoberlandic?
Yeah, it means October country or Octoberland. Okay. It's a pretty cool game. It's not designed by us. It's published by us. It's designed by a guy called Christian Merstam, and it's designed, graphic design is by Johan Noor, who also did the graphic design for Mork Borg. So and also the scenario and setting writer for Oktoberlandet is Nils Hintze, who did the Tales from the Loop RPG and Things from the Flood RPG, and Vesen also. So Oktoberland is definitely a game that kind of connects a lot of dots, and it we released it in Swedish, I think it was 2015, 16, something like that. It's a very cool game. It's kind of a steampunk, but it's set in like Tsarist Russia, and it's got like fairies and orcs and stuff. So nice. It's a weird, cool game. So you never know, but it's also one of those like earlier things that we did in Swedish. And it's also, I mean, since it's not our game, we published it, but it's not controlled by, it's not ours to say what happens to it. So it's also, it's a bigger issue since any kind of translations and things would be something we need to coordinate with the guys who created the game in the first place. And we don't have any immediate plans of translating it, but you know, if you never know, it could happen at some point.
Andy asks, any news on the Lovecraftian game, or is that to come when the stars are right?
Yeah, good question and good answer there also.
Absolutely. I think
that's very true. Yeah, that's one of those games. It's being worked on right now. But we're not hurrying to get that out. There's also a lot of stuff happening already that we'll need to focus on first in terms of releases, but it's definitely being worked on behind the scenes. And I guess it's fine to say that Gareth Hanrahan is a game writer that some of you might be familiar with. He's done a lot of good stuff on lots of games. He's working on a scenario and some setting stuff for it. We also have Matt Kay, who's doing podcasts and stuff, and he's been he's been very present in like the Year Zero community, running the Discord and so on. He's working on the rules side of things a little bit. So there's definitely stuff happening. But again, I won't really say when in terms of releases. I mean, we have, in terms of our new RPG releases, we have that are already announced. Aside from this one, we have Twilight 2000, obviously. That will come next year. We have the new edition of The One Ring, which I won't say a date for, but yeah, that's also coming along. So, and then we actually have another game that we have not announced yet. And then we have the Lovecraftian game. So just looking at the bigger scheme of things, I think the Lovecraft game is more likely to be maybe 2022 than a 2021 release. Okay. But you never know. It's all about, you know, when the stars align. So, yeah.
Carl Frederick asks, I think a Viking game based on Habits and Vakar.
Yeah, that, it means the Wolves of the Sea. This is an old scenario for that game I mentioned, the 80s Swedish game, Drakedemoner. It's like an old fantasy game. This was the scenario for that game based on Vikings. So it's not like a typical fantasy scenario. It was...
Right.
But it was about, you know, Vikings doing Viking stuff.
It would be a slam dunk for Free League. Frontier mechanics like Forbidden Lands, a ship as a base to build on. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, it's a cool idea.
Yeah, I think it is.
The allure there, and it would be a pretty good fit. Yeah, why not?
Let's see here. Mary asks, will there be supplements, source books for Coriolis? A player guide would be great too. Will there be rules to play campaigns not focused on manning a ship or on world adventures, social politics, etc.?
Right. For Coriolis at the moment, we're focusing mainly on the big Mercy of the Icons campaign. I mean, the part one Emissary Lost came out last year, and we are now hard at work on part two, and it's coming. I don't know how much I should say, because this is Matthias Johnson's territory, his project, but stay tuned, because there will be news on Coriolis and Mercy of the Icons part two in the next weeks. So very soon there will be exciting news on that front.
We did an interview with him to start off the showcase, and he did reveal an upcoming the book two is coming out, and for the Mercy of the Icons, and a starter set he kind of teased as well. So if you haven't checked that out, go check that out. It's on the you can scroll down on the YouTube channel and check that out. It was really really fun. Let's see here. I'm gonna try. We're kind of cutting close on time, so I'm trying to get as many questions as we can. Someone asked about the One Ring again. How's it going along with development? Any schedule on when it will be in stores? Any info on new rules? That's
right. Yeah, it's a lot of hit or sound like a broken record. We're working on it. I can't really say a date. I guess it's not looking likely that will be out this year, but it should be in the early parts of next year. I mean, it's Francesco Nepitello who's doing the game design. Alvaro Tapia is doing art, and it's coming together beautifully. It's going to be, I mean, I'm really, really looking forward to this game, and rules wise and so on. It's still Francesco's game. It's going to be a new edition of the One Ring. It's not a year zero game, because it's Francesco's design. But I mean, we all feel that his philosophy of game design really fits really well with our other games. So I think it's going to be a great fit. And on that front also, we'll just have to get back to you with details and you know when and where things are happening. But we definitely will be able to show more. The layout work, the graphic design is already coming together, and we'll definitely be able to share something on that really soon.
Nice. We have a session coming up with Francesco here in a little bit, so stick around for that as well. Guru Phil asks, Martin Takachi has been working some magic lately. Any chance for dark fantasy board games for Simbrium? Forbidden Lands would work well, considering it's a hex crawl, or Morkborg.
Yeah.
And I know I mispronounced Morkborg, by the way. For all the Swedish folks that are tuned in, I apologize.
I don't think you need to do that. board games is definitely something we are. Board games, card games, other types of games that are not RPGs are definitely something we're looking at also. I think RPGs are and will remain our core, but we are looking at other types of games as well. And Martin Takechi, he's of course a big part of that. He's now mainly focused on the Tales from the Loop board game, but we're also looking at the moment, nothing decided, but we are looking into Simbarum card game, Simbarum something else, maybe a Mutant Year Zero card game. And there's a lot of stuff happening. We have a prototype for a Forbidden Lands board game, still very much concept stage, but it's definitely there. And we are looking at different, projects, what we could do, That on that front also there's definitely things happening, and we should be able to share stuff with you pretty soon. Martin Takeichi is definitely a big part of that.
Jim Miller says, first, thank you for making the Year Zero engine available under the OGL. It's opened a door for me and other junior designers. What interesting things, projects have you seen come out of that decision?
Cool. It's great to see. I mean, the OGL for the Year Zero engine is another part of what we wanted to do with the Freelig Workshop, just to get community involved, to get, because role players are such a creative bunch. A lot of people who play games, a large percentage create games also. So it's having these tools to help people along, to give them tools to work with. It's something that we really want to do. So it's been really cool to see the big interest in the OGL, even though we only released it to Forbidden Lands backers because it was actually a stretch goal. We haven't really done a proper release of it, but it hasn't stopped people from going to town with it and really doing some cool stuff. So, I mean, I mentioned Matt Kay the other before. He's doing a game called Pitchfork, I believe. It's definitely his own take, but it's kind of evolved from the Year Zero engine in a way. But now it's very much his own game, and it looks really cool. So, I mean, this is one example off the top of my head. But I've also seen so much activity and fun stuff happening around that also, which is fantastic to see.
Ibram asks, when's the next episode of the best podcast, Freelig Tabletop? Table Talk, it had a great vibe.
Yeah, podcast is something we have had a Swedish podcast for a long time. So it's kind of an old thing, and it's very informal. It's just a bunch of us chatting along. We did that. Now we launched an English podcast trying to do pretty much that same thing, and we were kind of divided on how well that worked out, just because I think the Swedish podcast has been around for such a long time that people kind of know it and they know us, and it's kind of an informal thing. We just felt that it in the English podcast it was a new thing and people might not know us that well, so we figured we'd have to be a bit more, I wouldn't say formal, but we ended up in a strange place where we didn't feel it quite wasn't informal, but it wasn't really very well. I mean, it was kind of neither like a really good, well-produced podcast and not really informal either. We ended up in like a strange space in between. So we took a step back, and we might definitely return to it. I think we will, but we kind of wanted to reevaluate that thing and see how best to do that. And actually, to be honest, one of the things that came out of that discussion is actually this. The showcase is your idea, Doug, so I will not take credit from that, but just to have a bigger presence on streams, Twitch, YouTube, and have this kind of activity is also fills the same kind of need that we felt we wanted to achieve with the podcast, and that is to be more active, be more present in the community, to interact with the community, to be in a way that is not only through like products and releases, but also to talk to people in new channels and more channels and in new different ways. And I guess for the moment, now we're a bit more focused on this side of things, as in YouTube, Twitch, and these things. But we might get back to the podcast at a later time.
Excellent. We're going over. We're over by 3.5 minutes already, but I'm going to do one more question because I think it's a good tie-in for the next session that we have with Simon. But Autocratics asks, absolutely love all things Tales from the Loop. Is there more to come for the Loop and Flood world?
Sure, yeah. And I want to take the opportunity to mention, I think you might have seen that, but we will launch a Kickstarter for Simon's next book, The Labyrinth. Yeah, there it is. Coming soon. So you should definitely check that out. It might not be exactly the same world as Tales from the Loop. It's its own work, its own book. But I mean, it's Simon and his weird and wonderful imagination behind it. So, if you like that, you'll definitely enjoy this as well. This is an art book, so it's not a game yet. But yeah, so definitely check that out. But as for Tales from the Loop, the game, yes, we are working on, we have a campaign that we're working on, a campaign book that is pretty much done. That it's a matter of we're working on just getting everything together. It's a pretty cool campaign. It's written by a guy called Oz Mills. We'll need to get back to you on details, but it's a campaign in four parts. And it's, I guess I shouldn't say too much in terms of details, but it's happening and it's being worked on.
Excellent. I did catch that yet, by the way, to
yeah.
Watch, the yet. Yeah. So
nothing,
I hope
nothing decided, nothing at all decided on that.
But, you know, I'm sure everybody that was listening or this watching also caught that as well. Anyway, that's going to do it. We're 5 minutes over time. I appreciate you coming on. I'm sorry if I missed some questions. Thomas, we're going to have you back on again.
Sure.
For a longer session and answer some more questions whenever you get a free moment. If anybody would like to catch Thomas on a future session, hit that subscribe button down below, and you'll be notified every single time we go live or upload new content. We really want to grow this presence here on YouTube because it's a great community, and we really appreciate everyone that enjoys Free League Publishing and all the games that they put out, and we're just excited to see them grow bigger and bigger as the years go on. So, Thomas, thank you so much. I know you're a busy man, and you have family and everything going on, so thank you so much for giving your time. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back here in a few moments with Simon Stollenhag, who I'm extremely excited to talk to as well. This is going to be a real treat, and we'll be here probably in another 20 minutes or so stick around. Thank you so much, everyone. Be safe and be well.